Did you hear that all right, that John?
That's better.
Our next public hearing is ordinance amendment chapter 115, conditional uses, manufactured homes.
This is an ordinance to amend chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County by amending article 24, 115-172G, relating to conditional uses regarding manufactured homes. In synopsis, this ordinance clarifies regulations regarding accessory buildings and manufactured home parks. This ordinance also adds to the code regulation regarding handicap ramps. The sentence in 115-172G7 was deleted as it is covered in new subsection 14. Any text that is deleted, again for reference, if you're reading the ordinance, is enclosed in brackets. Any text that is amended or added is underlined. And again, this is based on approved recommendations from the Manufactured Housing Committee. Section 1. Is the intent to amend the code, chapter 115, article 24, 115-172G, special requirements, by deleting the sentence contained in 115-172G7, which is proposed to be bracketed and deleted, steps with related landings not exceeding 28 square feet of lot coverage may project 4 feet into the required setback. That is proposed to be deleted. And it'll be amended in what I'm going to now read. What we ended up doing was adding two additional references or subsections, and they're number 13 and 14. Number 13 to read, no part of an accessory building shall extend closer than 5 feet to the boundaries of an individual residential site or within 20 feet to a main residential structure or addition thereto on another residential site or within 10 feet of an accessory building on another residential site, or exceed an overall height of 25 feet. An existing accessory building of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted and if authorized by park management. Number 14, also proposed to be added, states open, unenclosed landings with steps and handicap ramps providing access into the main residential structure may project 4 feet into the required side yard setback and the 20-foot separation requirement. An open unenclosed landing not exceeding 4 feet by 4 feet located near the elevation of the finished floor of the main residential structure shall have the necessary steps to get down from the landing to the grade of the lot. Open unenclosed landings and steps shall not be calculated as part of the 35% lot coverage requirement since they are required to provide access into the main residential structure. Handicap ramps may be permitted for emergency needs and shall be subject to the approval of park management, the director, and the county's chief of building code. A handicap ramp shall be designed and built to county building code and federal code guidelines relating to the Americans with Disabilities Act with specified slope, handrails, et cetera. Just for clarification, the reference that I read to get down from the landing to grade was all created because of flood zones where the elevation requirement is higher than the standard couple steps to get to the unit. That's why it was changed that way. That's all I have, unless you have questions. Again, I have received no correspondence.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have just one comment on this one after reviewing it, just for clarity. In section 2, I guess it would be new, subsection 13, The second to last line talks about if the accessory building was previously permitted and if authorized by the park management. It doesn't say whom it would have been previously permitted by. If it was the intention that meant that it was previously permitted by Sussex County, it should say that. That's all. That's my. Otherwise, it's kind of open-ended about what's meant in terms of who the permit was issued by.
All right, then. Can we...
I think if you make a motion
pass that on with our recommendation, whatever it may be, we'll make sure that that's get it gets included. in that. All right, then, ordinance amendment, chapter 115, conditional uses, manufactured homes. Anyone like to speak in favor? All the way in the back, in the blue shirt, and then, okay, in favor.
I initially came here to listen. My name's Mark Meisner, manager at West Bay, over on Rehoboth Bay. Initially came here to listen out of curiosity more than anything, but in support of a couple of the issues, the accessory buildings. 5 foot property line is going to give you 10 feet between accessory buildings by default. Up in King County, that's the way it was in my past. I think it's.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, yeah, you just tilt that up a little
you
bit.
You can even put it, I think, on the side of
you're kind of a tall drink of water there.
I'll do this. I'm not on film. Go. How's that? Okay. I agree with the 5 foot property line, which by default gives you 10 feet between buildings. I install manufactured homes, sheds, all that. And I know the nightmares you run into, especially with older communities with setbacks when you're trying to improve the community, not necessarily for more value, but just for the simple fact that a homeowner who currently has a home wants to upgrade their home, not buying it through me. They can buy it through whoever they want. It does everyone good if they can put a home on that in that community, on that lot, not worry about the shed of the lot next door necessarily causing a problem with placing that home, because the shed that they would put on with that property now wouldn't work because you got to have 20 feet between accessory buildings. You're losing, you know, 10 feet of land on either side. And with a 50 by 100 lot, for example, it does become difficult when you have backs and sides running up against it. So I think that's a wonderful thing, and I really, really hope the council considers that. As far as the steps are concerned, again, 3/4 of my community is flood zone. And to place the home according to FEMA and county guidelines as far as height above sea level is concerned, I deal with AE6, AE7, AE8, VE8, VE9 flood zones. And I can tell you, after putting a VE8 home in the last few years, that there is no way possible that you can put a landing in a conforming lot next to another existing lot and be able to meet a 28 square foot coverage with the amount of steps. I think that the whole thing behind looking at it, is it a deck or is it an entryway? Okay, it's an entryway. You don't have a table, you don't have chairs, you don't have a barbecue. It's a means to get into your home and for egress purposes as well. Okay, you don't want to take away from that. That's the most important thing. It's in the spirit, I guess you would say, you're not building a deck, you're building an entryway. To get to that entryway, you got to have a safe means. And when you have a home that's required by the county, by FEMA, to have a floor height or a frame height at a certain height based on that flood zone, I think the steps going up to it are important. And for nothing else, entry into the house. The handicap ramps, again, into the setback. I think, you know, the committee did a good job in addressing that, but I think in some cases, is that open to variance by your understanding? If
you mean, can somebody apply for variance from that language?
Yeah, if it's a handicap ramp, ADA, built to code, for someone to safely access their house that's handicapped, will the county give more consideration to a variance based on them? Not a property owner necessarily that's building new construction, but say someone's lived in their home for 10 or 15 years and they fall on an illness, or now they have to have a ramp to get into their home. And the only way to be able to do that is to go outside possibly that 4 feet. Obviously, you can put in for a variance and have it approved or not approved, but with the building in Sussex County the last 10 years, I know it's a more sensitive subject. Will they be given more of a, would they be more likely to be approved if it's something that they need?
I think common sense would
sure.
But what it ultimately has to do is it has to go to the Board of Adjustment,
yes.
And they're going to decide it on a case by case basis.
But we can't we can't really speculate or.
I understand. I'm just talking in general.
It could be difficult in the non-conforming lots that are undersized.
And there are some.
Setbacks are only 5 foot, and you're already being allowed 4 foot encroachment. I don't get really a foot.
And currently in our community,
in the other parks with the 50 by 100 lots that aren't necessarily non-conforming, then you're dealing with a 10-foot setback. So there may be some grounds for granting a variance there, but.
I agree. And there are parks that are 5 and 20, for example.
Non-conforming parks, they would be difficult.
Okay. I can see it in a case of me putting a new home on for somebody, and the reason they're going to buy is because I can do that. And if I can't do that, they're not going to buy. I understand that. I'd never put the variance in to begin with. But someone that's currently on the property, that's where I can see.
Case by case, and there's the legal standards that they're going to have to meet, and if the circumstances justify it, then
it's consideration.
They can make a record to prove it. Yeah.
I've had the subject come up already in my community from our residents asking me a general question. I may need a ramp. Can I do this? I go up and I look at the setbacks, and I go, ah. And for $400 to even apply for the variance, some people, that's a lot of money, me included. So it's just something to consider, and maybe I can give them some information based on, something that we get out of this meeting. Thank you. That's it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, in favor? Anybody else in favor? I saw a hand back here. Yes, ma'am. Here. Come on up. Then you'll be next.
Oh, you guys know me by now.
You still have to tell the tape, though.
Okay, it's Patty Weil. I'm vice president of the Bay City Manufactured Homeowners Association, and I'm also a resident. I need clarification.
All right. We'll try to get
there was
over.
Many of us that were all at all of those meetings. Tell me what 5 feet to the boundary means. Tell me.
Clear to me.
No.
Five foot is a setback requirement from the lot line between your neighboring lot.
So if I put a double wide, I only have to worry about 5 feet?
No, we're not talking about the 5 foot setback.
Okay.
We're talking about the accessory buildings.
Accessory building is 5 feet.
The setback in Bay City, because it's majority of it's non-conforming, is 5 foot on all four lot lines. And then you have a 20-foot space in between your improvements and your neighbor's improvements.
Correct.
On the adjoining lot. What this is proposed to do is to separate the 20-foot that's normally required from improvement to improvement and improvement to shed on the adjoining lots, is that this would allow for the shed to shed to be 5 foot from the line, given a 10-foot separation.
So my neighbor's shed is 5 feet from the line, and mine is 5 feet, so that's 10 feet between sheds,
right.
The accessory building.
Only the accessory building, not the unit with the additions, decks, sun porches, or whatever.
Okay.
Only the accessory buildings.
All right, let's talk about the 20 feet.
But you still had to be 20 feet from that accessory building to the other improvements on the lot, the unit, the porch, the sunroom, or whatever.
So my porch would have to be 20 feet from the neighbor's porch.
Not being changed.
That's still not being proposed. Changed. It's consistent the way it is.
Right.
So the recommendation from the fire marshal, we're sticking with that, 20 feet.
It's not being changed.
Okay. Here you also talk about the exceed an overall height of 25 feet. Is that what it is now? Because we didn't talk about that in our meetings.
That's what's in now.
That's 25 feet now. Okay. That's my only question. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am. You're up. You have to tell us who you are again.
Susan Lashley from Wilmington again. I wanted to reiterate, because it does apply to this section. Again, I feel that the Newcastle County, and I know you don't want to hear that, example of 200 square feet or less makes this section much more palatable, easier for the consumer, and I didn't hear why that would be unsafe to allow that. I did hear, I guess, the fire marshal was consulted, but I was disappointed during the ad hoc to not hear that impervious surfaces or experts used for addressing like the floodplain or civil engineers or DENRAC or the Department of Soil Conservation, Inland Bay studies, none of these were referred to because we're having such a drainage problem. And I just don't understand why we can't make that a little simpler. The section seems to be quite difficult to understand and puts a burden on the consumer to get variances and such for a shed. Why couldn't we just say a square footage amount of, say, 200 square feet like it has worked in Newcastle County, and that obey the setbacks, which I think is a great thing? I think that would be much easier to just allow that rather than have, you know, all the extra verbiage in there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yes, sir, right here in front.
John Morris from Camelot. I really would like to ask the gentleman.
Actually, you got to ask us, and we'll ask him.
If he could come up.
I know it's cumbersome, but.
Could you please ask him to come back up?
I'd like you to ask your question first, and then if we.
I was not clearly understanding his direction on what a handicap lot can be if it's in an existing community. Why can't you put a 4-foot platform or ramp, whatever, at the beginning of the ramp, as long as it meets the level of the house, and you then regress down inch per foot? I didn't understand where he was having a problem with that.
The problem comes in is if you end up violating a setback with the construction of the ramp.
Well, and I think what he was talking about, too, is that this would allow a handicap ramp to project into the setback by 4 feet and the 20-foot separation requirement. I think the question he was asking is if you needed to go beyond that, you know, for whatever the circumstances might be, and I don't know what they would be.
If you had a lot of vertical height, you needed 20 or 30 feet for your ramp.
Just depends.
For most manufactured housing, they're 2 to 3 steps to get in.
But his question was, if you're in a floodplain where you have to be at a certain elevation above, and you end up being 4, 5, 6 feet above the ground with your living space, is the overcoming that you it takes considerable amount more room. And the question he was asking is, you know, what happens in that situation, and what happens in that situation is that a variance would need to be applied for.
Okay, so in a residential property that is already in a floodplain and the height of the house has already been raised more than the 3 steps or the 4 steps, that what you're saying, there would be 5 or 6 steps to get into that house?
I don't really know how many steps it would be. I'm just saying that common sense would tell you it would be more steps, would take more land, would have a greater chance of violating a setback or being somewhere, you know, being built.
Well, so many of the parks in Sussex County are older parks.
That's true.
Been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
In Camelot alone, I've seen multiple houses have to have a ramp added because mom needs a ramp to get in and out.
Sure.
I see no problem, and I guess it goes from park to park.
Lot to lot, right?
Yeah. In any of ours, in compliance with the national code for a ramp. Mm-hmm. And I guess he's saying he's asked the question, then if there is an individual reason, they'd be able to come back for a variance?
That's what I believe he was asking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think he was talking, in part of his presentation, he was also making reference to the existing regulation not being adequate because of the flood zone. And what we were trying to address was that because of the flood zone requirements are elevated at or above height of base flood elevation, then you're going to end up with more steps to get down to grade.
Yes, ma'am, in the back there, in the green.
I'm Jeannie Sis from Sierra Mobile Home Park. All of this had come about in the ad hoc meeting and all because of Sierra. We have very small lots, and what I see happening is this here is our code. This little area is our code. And now I see all this other things being added to it, and we really didn't have a problem with much of the code the way it was. I don't, you know, changing, the verbiage about manufactured housing is fine. Now we're going into ramps and steps and whatever. That was nearly, really wasn't a problem that we had ever heard of. We were having a difficult time with sheds. And when this came about here with this shed and adding all the above, it does not pertain and cannot pertain to our particular mobile home park. The code is written for 5,000 square foot lots. It is not written for our lots. Our lots are less than 5,000. All the lots after this code was written are 5,000 square feet. Ours is not. So now we have an accessory building. We have all these other things. Not one of our accessory buildings in the back can fit this. So now we're going for a variance for every one of them. We can't do that. So there's a lot of things that needed to just be clarified, because what has happened is, he's back there. What we have is David Hutt is here from Sierra Mobile Home Park. He is the attorney for the Suncorp. And prior to all of what the county has done, we never had any variances for sheds. They were allowed to place mobiles in. In fact, he just placed a mobile over on Dodd Avenue, and he had to get two variances for two sheds because of all this stuff going on about the sheds. We shouldn't have any variance for any sheds in the smaller lot parks. This code was written for 5,000 square feet lots, not for our park. So what we had requested at the ad hoc meeting, and it's all over every tape, make a difference where sheds are called sheds. They have a definition according to size, and there's only a building permit required, not all the other above. Now, you want to put this in for the 5,000 square foot lots? Everybody here is sitting basically in a 5,000 square foot lot. If they don't care, I don't care. But I do care about our park and the smaller parks, because this stuff won't fit. And you're putting a burden right back on us again. So this needs to be readdressed and rewritten. That two things I asked for. Number one, there's a 10-foot setback for all things that are roadside. What they are doing is we have a 5-foot setback in here. And being we have a 5-foot setback, they're placing mobiles out to the road and then adding a step. It is horrifying what is going on. I don't have any other park around that is doing that, to have small lotted parks. What I ask for is two things. Sheds are identified by size, and they are a building permit only in smaller lotted parks, not the 5,000 square feet. The other thing that was requested, we have a 10-foot setback roadside. Anything roadside, the mobile has to be, the steps have to be, the porches have to be, the handicap ramps have to be 10 feet back. That is what we've asked for, because if you come into our park and take a tour, it's dangerous. We have somebody from the Sussex County Council who has taken a tour. He has told them, the Suncorp, that you have basically ruined the park for what you've done. He's also stated that in open meetings. So we only asked for two changes, two clarifications, and all of a sudden we have all this stuff. So if the people from the 5,000 square feet lots don't care, I don't either, but I only asked for two things to be changed in the code. That's what all the ad hoc meetings were about. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question, please?
Oh.
You make reference that shed should be identified by building permit only. You're saying just get a building permit and put it wherever you want?
We had discussed that, and it's not wherever we want. In other words, it has to be. We have it in our state law that the landowner identifies the property lot, the lot size, I mean the boundaries. So we said that you take and go get permission from the landowner. They have permission from the landowner that they should be able to come in and place a shed. We never in our park ever had a problem with placing any of the sheds. Never. So I don't know why the county is getting involved in this. It was never a problem with any of us. Now we have a problem because every time we place a shed, they're demanding now we get a survey, which isn't even in the code, and now a variance. We can't afford this. None of our sheds fit. Where's my shed going to fit? I could put it in the front yard. That's the only place it'll fit without a variance or any of the above, according to the code. I have it sitting in the back. One place, it's about 4 foot from the property line. It's on an angle. And the other part is maybe a foot from the property line. There's nobody behind me. So what we're saying is we asked for what we always got before, permission from the landowner, and we take it in to get a building permit. And that's all that should be required for lots less than 5,000 square feet. We don't have a problem with it. I don't think the landowner has a problem with it. His attorney is here. I think he could speak for them.
Well, he can if he wants to, but only if he wants to. Folks, it's usually one trip to a customer on a given given item. But you know what?
It's up to you. Yeah, the chairman has the authority.
Chairman has the authority to bend the rules. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it three times right now. Okay, one for the lady in the fuchsia, one for the lady in the black, and the other lady in the black, in that order. So you're first. Okay, you got to tell us who you are again.
I have questions.
Okay.
My name again is Susan Lausche from Wilmington.
Question.
I'm confused with this non-conforming, conforming lot thing.
Yeah.
Where the code is concerned, when an older home is removed, according to what the code says, all current codes apply. And I know that in tunnel parks, a lot of them, he started out with a lot of small homes and had less than 5,000 square feet. Then as those homes were removed and replaced, he reconfigured the lots. And if we don't do that, then we'll constantly have a non-conforming whatever. But it doesn't say that the lot's grandfathered. It says that the home, according to the code, unless I'm interpreting it incorrect, that the home is grandfathered. In other words, you're not going to make Mrs. Jones leave her home because it doesn't conform to the code now. But when Mrs. Jones passes or if she decides to upgrade, then she'll have to obey the current code. Now, am I misunderstanding that?
Mr. Tunnel changed his lots by choice. He wasn't required to change them, but he would have had to take those smaller lots and utilize those based on current code.
So the code doesn't say when a home is removed, all current codes apply. Am I misunderstanding that?
I think it does say that.
Not as relates to lots. A lot's non-conforming.
Not the lot size, but the setbacks.
The lot size is non-conforming if it's pre-existing.
Right.
Because a lot of the lots were 4,000 square feet.
It doesn't say that. It says that the home is pre-existing.
It doesn't mean you increase the lot size to 5,000 every time you want to get a permit. It's come up several times, that question.
Well, so I am incorrect. It's the home. The lot is grandfathered forever if it's under 5,000. It's not when the home is
pre-existing. It's already been approved or was established before regulations.
The lot size doesn't change, but if you remove what's on the lot now, whatever you put back has to conform to whatever regulations are
exactly.
Now
that's exactly what I just said.
That's
so
right.
It does have to conform to the
lot,
code.
The lot does too.
No, the lot stays the same. The lot does not change. It has already been it's already approved, platted. The lot's a done deal as long as there's dirt there. Okay.
So if homes get to be like 800 square feet, as long as it's off of the property line, 5 feet or 10 or whatever, I guess 10 or whatever, you can fill up the entire lot. I mean, that doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, 35% lot coverage issue still dominate.
Yeah. So you can only cover 35% of the lot. So the answer to your question is yes, up to 35% of the square footage of the lot. So if you have a 3,000 square foot lot.
So before this ordinance was put into effect, everybody that had less than 5,000 square feet doesn't pertain to them. That's what you're saying?
No, I don't think it said that. I think it pertains to everybody.
The ordinance, as far as setbacks go, pertains to everybody. There's a difference in the code.
No, the 5,000, it says in the code that all lots must be 5,000 square feet.
If you're going to create a lot.
If you're going to create a lot, if a lot already existed before that ordinance went into effect, then it still exists.
I didn't see that. I thought it said...
You can't go retroactive.
I thought it said the home was...
Because that's a... that's called an
you can't go retroactive and change it.
Yes. It becomes non-conforming.
It's grandfathered, the lot.
The lot is grandfathered forever.
Right.
Now, a lot of the parks have taken two lots or three lots and made two because that's by their choice. They want to get a nicer lot for because of double wides, most likely.
I didn't interpret it that way. Well, thank you. And that was the legal interpretation?
Yeah, I mean, because it talks about nonconformities in the code, in the zoning code.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, over here. Okay, over here. Yes, ma'am.
Roberta Hemrick, McNichol Place.
Mm-hmm.
I have just two questions here on this proposed ordinance. In number 13, it says an existing accessory building of the same dimension may be replaced in the same location if the accessory building was previously permitted and if authorized by the park management. Very often in the past, we were told permits were not needed for some of these sheds. This has happened for years, especially years ago. What happens in that case? If somebody didn't have a permit because they were told they didn't need it, what happens?
They have to conform to the regulation. They don't have a permit, they need to conform.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
The permits have been required since zoning started, October 15, 1968.
I understand what you're saying. We've gone round and round about this.
I go around with a lot of people on that one, but that's all I can say, because that's all the ordinance that I have. And permits were required back that far. Because when we established zoning, the only way we could create zoning was we had to get permits because of regulations. Regulation required permits and setbacks, so we had to make permits an issue to make the permit required so people know what their setbacks are.
I do understand this, Lawrence. I really do. However, I know for a fact, because years ago I came in to get a permit for a shed, and I was told I didn't need it. Okay? I did get one because I insisted. However, there are a lot of people that are out there that have sheds on their property that were told they didn't need it, and they believed it.
Told by somebody here?
People in the county, county employees. I mean, to this day, there are problems, okay? Mm-hmm. Myself and an associate came in to get building permits for work that was being done on our homes, and we were told we didn't need them. Now, I was having a roof replaced. I insisted on a building permit, but I had to fight for it.
Well, there's a couple issues through assessment where permits are not required. You're replacing the shingles on your roof. You can replace them.
I was not replacing the shingles.
Certain things that, that we reference and agree to through assessment, they're not necessary to get a permit because you're really shingle for shingle, metal roof for metal roof, there really isn't any difference.
Okay.
So the assessment value is not going to change, that type of thing.
Okay.
But assessment's got a short list of things they don't require permits for.
Well, I mean, again, this is something I do think that some of the county employees need a refresher course in training that might help to solve some of these problems. The other question I had on this, on the handicap ramps, I attended all of the ad hoc committee meetings, and if I'm not mistaken, didn't we specify that these would be indicated as temporary?
There's an exception. There's an exception right in that paragraph, and it makes reference to handicap ramps may be permitted for emergency needs, as long as they comply with that reference.
Okay.
But if you want to do a permanent, it's interpreted that if you want to do a permanent handicap ramp that's going to just basically be a ramp to get to the unit, it's going to stay there, then it's got to conform to the requirements.
Okay. I maybe we could clarify that a little, because I don't think it's real clear.
Well, the attorneys thought it was.
They did.
Not
Vince. He wasn't involved.
Okay.
The ordinance writers.
Do you think that's clear?
Because there are some, and Mr. Morris can acknowledge it, there are, the issue came up on the handicap ramps because there were some ramps being constructed that didn't meet code.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had the wrong slope, they didn't have any railings, there were problems. And actually, Mr. Marks might have pointed out during the ad hoc committee meeting.
I remember.
And we tried to bring it up to what we felt was satisfactory. And if we missed something, I apologize.
Well, perhaps we could just get it clarified a little bit.
A quick way to do it, I'll just throw this out, would be on 14 to say open, just that very first line, open unenclosed landings with steps and handicap ramps for emergency needs providing access. Just add the words emergency needs. It appears at the bottom of that paragraph, but that'll make...
So then you're saying if it's a permanent structure, then it would just meet code requirements.
Right.
It wouldn't have to meet this. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else like to speak in favor or in opposition or in any other way to conditional uses manufactured homes? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.